This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, everyone, and welcome to Cobblestones Chronicles. It's a delight for me to be with you again today for the next hour, talking about some of the history of the Wairarapa, and also to be giving you an idea of some of the things that we're getting up to at Cobblestones. And the first thing I must tell you is that we have our fair. So we have our Spring Country Fair on Saturday at Cobblestones. And I know there's going to be some lambs, some calves, probably some hens and chickens. So it's going to be a lovely, lovely day out. And particularly bring the kids along, because they will get an opportunity to see some animals and even pet the lambs, or maybe even feed them and pat the calves and see, you know, this is what farm animals look like and this is how they react, and it's always great fun. So I'm going to play a song first. And given the weather today, Thursday the 3rd, I thought I might play a song that's called A Flood Is Coming, because we know that there's a lot of water coming down from the skies today. There's a flood warning. So let's celebrate with A Flood Is Coming. Here we go.
For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh and reduce the breath of life under heaven.
So that was A Flood Is Coming by Featherstone's Finest, Patrick Bleakley, Matthew Dillon, Matt Hancock, Marcus Harvey, Campbell Neal, Sally Marks, Kate Marshall, Paris Mason, Christopher Miller, James Neville, Ellen Roda, Marguerite Tate Jameson, and Irene Tiahi, who combined together to record the kind of music that bush bands played in the early part of the 20th century. And they did that in 2015, which is almost 10 years ago. And obviously had a good, jolly good time doing it as well. And springtime, there would have been some bush bands playing, and they would have made some dances in the hall, because the winter was over. We had some spring. Yes, we got rain and the equinox. It's a bit windy, but there you go. So we're just over the equinox now. It's all uphill now until the mid-summer time. This morning, I've actually picked up some old newspapers which were published. These are replicas of old newspapers, not the real old newspapers. But this one is a replica of a newspaper which was published on Thursday, May the 20th, 1860. And one of the first things is the carriages to and from the Wairarapa. And this is an ad from W.R. Hastwell. Begs to inform his old friends and the public generally of Wellington and the Wairarapa that he has resumed his old business of carrier to and from the Wairarapa as successor to Mr. Skipper, and trusts that he will receive that extensive patronage which was formerly accorded to him, and which it will be his earnest study to merit. WRH will deliver goods to all parts of the Wairarapa at the lowest remunerative rates and with his usual care and dispatch. So that was from the 4th of March, 1869, according to this. So it must have been 1869 this newspaper was published. It's just, that was William Hastwell, who, of course, built the stable, which is the centrepiece of the Cobblestones Museum. And it was fascinating to see that he'd taken it up again, having given it away for a year while he went back to England. He'd taken it up again, so it was great to see. And one of the things that we are doing at Cobblestones is that we're celebrating the vehicle, horse-drawn vehicle traffic from to and from the Wairarapa, because that was really what led to the opening up of the Wairarapa. And this is from the Wairarapa Mercury, which was published in Greytown. It was done from a general printing office in Greytown, and it was actually right in the middle of Greytown. And they also had a jobbing plant where they had plain and ornamental type in good variety. And there's an ad here for the printing office, and I think they've used every conceivable typeface. It's quite hilarious. Because I don't know if you can see this, but one of the things that they did was they used all lots of different typefaces when they were setting up the type. And these days, of course, we would say less is more with a whole load of different typefaces, but that was the way they did too. I love that they also have business notices. So, timber, Belvedere Sawmills, 3 mile bush near Carterton. So, I wonder if that's where Belvedere Road got its name from Belvedere Sawmills, because that was very important. It's just lovely to see this. And you can see some of these when you come into Cobblestones Museum. It's well worth having a look at them. We have the Taritahi Post Office. Goodness me. Richard Bright, the blacksmith and farrier of Greytown. Moritz Hitchberg, wholesale and retail storekeeper, wine and spirit merchant on the main street of Greytown. And the Brickyard. There was a Brickyard in Greytown. It's quite amazing to see that there was a Brickyard. Just amazing. Now, I thought I'd play us another song from this CD that I've got hold of from the Featherstone Players from 10 years ago. And this is the South Seas Tarantella, which, of course, would be a dance and could be well worth having a dance to. So let's have a dance.
From Puglia she came to the White Arapa. A sadness fell upon her, oh, a sadness fell upon her. A sadness fell upon her like the darkest winter. The darkest winter, the darkest winter. A sadness fell upon her like the darkest winter. Nanny, 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 na. Tell you a story of death by Pizzica. Nanny, 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 na. I'll tell you a story of death by Pizzica. Betrothed to an old man, a cold, cool farmer. Her husband had a temper, oh, her husband had a temper. Her husband had a temper like the king of Malta. The king of Malta, the king of Malta. Her husband had a temper like the king of Malta. Nanny, 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 na. I'll tell you a story of how he went too far. Nanny, 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 na. I'll tell you a story of how he went too far. Alone on the shoreline with insomnia. The moon has shone upon her, oh, the moon has shone upon her. The moon has shone upon her, limbing all the silver. All the silver, all the silver. The moon has shone upon her, limbing all the silver. Nanny, 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 na. There on a sand dune she felt the pizzica. Nanny, 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 na. There on a sand dune she felt the pizzica. The rush from a kiss of a tiny spider. She felt the blood igniting, oh, she felt the blood igniting. She felt the blood igniting, a feeling so bizarre. A feeling so bizarre, a feeling so bizarre. She felt the blood igniting, a feeling so bizarre. Nanny, 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 na. Dancing to dawn, spring, sweet euphoria. Nanny, 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 na. Dancing till dawn, spring and sweet euphoria. A fortnight went by when her old man beat her. Pommel to the floorboards, a pommel to the floorboards. Pommel to the floorboards, she never knew what for. She never knew what for, she never knew what for. Pommel to the floorboards, she never knew what for. Nanny, 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 na. From beneath the coal range left out a tarantula. Nanny, 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 na. From beneath the coal range left out a tarantula. She offered up her wrist to the kindly creature. What's more a blood igniting, oh, what's more a blood igniting. What's more a blood igniting, you sound familiar. How familiar, how familiar. What's more a blood igniting, you sound familiar. Nanny, 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 na. Free now the frenzy of wild hysteria. Nanny, 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 na. Free now the frenzy of wild hysteria. Consumed by the fire of a tarantella. A man has fell upon her, oh, a man has fell upon her. A man has fell upon her, she snatched the cleaver. She snatched the cleaver, she snatched the cleaver. A man has fell upon her, she snatched the cleaver. Nanny, 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 na. Twirling and spinning, a bloody massacre. Nanny, 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 na. Twirling and spinning, a bloody massacre.
there we go. That was a tarantella. How interesting. So I'm going to continue reading from this newspaper because I found this piece about the traffic coming over the Rimutakas, and I noticed that the Rimutakas are going to be closed at night for the next few nights while they try and fix up the road. But it sounds like the road used to be a lot more exciting. So this is from 1869. The late Mr. Thomas Ray of Carterton was one of the early mail carriers in the district. When the Wairarapa was opened up for settlement, his parents took up land in the Taratahi and built the Taratahi Hotel, one of the first in the district. Mr. Thomas Ray drove a trap with mail and passengers over the Rimutaka track, and later he ran a cob coach. As a mail and passenger carrier, he had some exciting experiences. On one trip, he brought Mr. St. Hill, SM, to the district as a magistrate, and who had business to transact on the eastern side of the Rumahunga. There was then no bridge, and the river was in flood, a bit like today. The magistrate went on horseback with Mr. Ray as guide, and they were nearly across the river when Mr. St. Hill's horse fouled a log and turned over. Mr. St. Hill was thrown clear and started to go under until Mr. Ray grabbed him by the hair and then by his coat and managed to pull him back to safety. Then Mr. St. Hill saw that his top hat, in which he had put his business papers to keep them dry, was floating serenely downstream. Mr. Ray promptly galloped along the bank and swam his horse into the river and retrieved the hat with its essential contents. Mr. Ray took the first piles over the Rimutakas for the first Queen's Wharf at Port Nicholson. So that's going from the Wairarapa to Port Nicholson. A trial trip had previously been made with a long white pine tree on a wagon, but on the sharp curves and narrow track, the tree kept striking the hillside. Mr. Ray was secured to take charge of the horse team, and he succeeded in getting the piles over the hill. The wagon trip to and from Wellington took a week, and it was the start of the Wairarapa's great shipments of primary produce. The wagons carried salt butter in kegs for export, hides, bacon, wool, and sheepskins. Bannister and Cabe brought the freight rates down to £10.10, and later to £8.10 a ton. To supply the outlying stations around Masterton, they kept 3 bullock trains as 12, and it was quite usual to see the bullock teams parked in Queen Street. The transport of spirituous liquors, of which rum predominated, was one of the most important items of the freight that was carried. Of course, that only lasted until the Rechabites came in. I must see if I can find a copy of the song Rum, Rum, Rum by Gum. The Fell system came in eventually, which is operated by and with an additional centre rail. This was first tried on Mount Cenis line in Europe, but is not used elsewhere in the world except on the Rimutaka line. When a train from the north reaches Cross Creek, the ordinary engine is detached, and a fell engine for every 8 loaded wagons and vans, or every 4 carriages and 2 vans, is attached. The engines can haul a load of 65 tons up the incline. An incline van with special rates is also hitched on. The train then proceeds up the incline at the rate of 5 miles an hour under the charge of the incline guard and engineers. The central rail is gripped on each side by wheels revolving horizontally beneath the engine. There are two pairs of these wheels on each engine pressing in towards each other. When descending, the centre rail is gripped between cast iron blocks fitted beneath the engine. The only fatal accident on the Rimutakas was in September 1880, when several carriages were blown off the line, but the erection of brake wings and heavier ballasting prevented further accidents. And since then, the Railways Department had a remarkable record as regards the safety of the passengers. Well, that's very reassuring. I do recommend a visit to the Fell Engine Museum. It's absolutely fascinating. And if you're very good and ask very nicely, I'm sure that the tour guide will even let you start up the remaining Fell engine, which resides in the museum. And it's incredible to see these bricks that they used, and that those only did one trip and then they had to be refurbished because it was such a steep incline. And I did know somebody who said to me that when they were a very small child, it was still in use, because it was still in use until about 1955 when they finished the new new line, which the tunnel goes through a lot lower. But you can still, of course, go through the tunnel and come down at Cross Creek. You can cycle or walk. And it was an exciting time, because it was a very ingenious system to get up a very, very steep incline and back down safely on the other side. Okay. On that note, I think we should have a song, and it's called Far Off on the Horizon, and this is by Winter Wilson, who are an English folk group, but I just thought Far Off on the Horizon, seeing as we're talking about going up and over the Rimutakas, is very appropriate. Here we go.
So will you please give a huge Fairport welcome to Kip and Dave, a.k.a. Winter Wilson.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Another night and sleep won't come. I'm staring at the ceiling. Just my thoughts for company. And the sound of my own breathing. There's a battle raging in my head. The saints against the sinners. Oh restless night. The ghost of you still. And I dare not dream on this bed where I am lying. And tomorrow's just another day, far off on the horizon. Why did you go? Why was it so? What was it you were needing? Did you hear the sound of dripping blood? It was only my heart beating. I gave whatever I could give, though it wasn't up to much. A ransom for a tired smile, tokens for a tender touch. It's too much space and I dare not dream on this bed where I am lying. And tomorrow's just another day, far off on the horizon. Treachery comes with a smile, and deceit the warmest handshake. Moonlit shadows, icy cold, surrendering to daybreak. And so morning comes just as it must. The wheels, they keep on turning. Each shadow face I know too well, each memory still burning. It's too much space and I dare not dream on this bed where I am lying. And tomorrow's just another day, far off on the horizon. It's too much space and I dare not dream on this bed where I am lying. And tomorrow's just another day, far off on the horizon. Yes, tomorrow's just another day, far off on the horizon.
That was Far Off on the Horizon, and as you can tell by the clapping and introduction, it was recorded live. Much of this CD was recorded live. Oh, I nearly said LP. Showing my age, although we have actually got a few LPs at home in our homestay, and it's we have a little homestay at the back, and what is delightful is that often people come and they will play the LPs. We've got Carole King, we've got Gordon Lightfoot, we've got, you know, a lot of really old, James Taylor, a lot of really old LPs. And even the kind of 20-somethings say, oh, that's really great, I've had those LPs from my mum and dad used to play them, and I really enjoyed listening to them, which is lovely because, in fact, I've gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that we do have some television reception in the homestay, but people don't want it. They really don't want it. It's great. They put aside and they listen to music and they chat. It's delightful getting away from things. In this newspaper that I'm reading, the Wairarapa Mercury, there's a little piece. Not sure if this is real or what, but anyway. So it's headlined, Her Summer Lover. Mabel faltered the Ruth. I'm deeply disappointed. The partiality you have shown for my society during the many little excursions we have taken together and the delightful little evening lunches we have had since the summer season began led me to expect a different answer. Oh, because I have looked upon you as an agreeable escort to picnics and lawn tennis parties and for summer evening promenades, you have regarded yourself as my accepted lover, have you, George? And it is because I have been available for these things, he said indignantly, that you have accepted my attentions, is it? You regard me merely as a summer lover, I presume. That is about the case, George, replied the maiden as she dug a hole in the sandy beach with her parasol. I have looked upon you as a lover in a picnician sense only. So there you go. A funny little story. A picnician sense only. Goodness me. There was also a lot of commerce, obviously, between New Zealand and the UK. And in fact, there's an ad here for if you're joining me on TV today. I'm holding it up. There's an ad here for a very smart set of dentures, which you could have made, painless extractions, no doubt. Although, I'm wondering, as it says, the London Dental Institute, I wonder if they sent them away to be made in London. That seems a bit odd, but there you go. Who am I to argue about it? There's a song here called Storm Around Tumbledown. And as it's going to be stormy today, I thought, we'll play this. So here we go. Another from Winter Wilson, recorded live. This was recorded after the lockdown when everybody was out and about again and going to gigs. So here we go. Winter Wilson, Storm Around Tumbledown.
Yesterday morning we popped in to see our lovely friend Pat Garbutt, widow of the late great Vin. And so we thought we kind of had to do this song a couple of times.
I wrote this song donkeys years ago and Vin was very good to us and he recorded it. The song's about the battle for Tumbledown Mountain from the Falklands War.
He's young and so keen, he couldn't wait. Sailing out with the boys, all the cheers and the noise, he didn't hesitate. Finished his training and he knew what to do. It's just like an exercise, home in a week, maybe two. And the rain clouds gather as they were landing. They were told, here's a test. Said we're headed for Tumbledown. Come on, boys, do your best. For there's glory in victory. It's there for the taking. I'll be remembered. It's history we're making. And still the rain clouds gather. There's a storm around Tumbledown tonight. There's a storm. Thank you. crack like thunder all around. Second or two. And now he'll no more suffer the fear and the pain. He'll never no more see the shores of England again. And still the rain clouds gather.
Lovely storm and around tonight, and hopefully it's not too bad a storm. In this newspaper that I've got, this phone newspaper, there's a headline that says vast changes in transport during the past 100 years, and this of course is a replica newspaper, so it's writing from the perspective of the 1970s on the 1870s. And it's quite interesting. So it says, as early as 1849, Sir Frederick Weld wrote, "Now the Wairarapa contains some dozen good houses, fenced enclosures, wheat fields, bridges, drains, etc. Rude carts are to be seen on the roads, drawn by horses and oxen, and on the river the smartly painted whaleboat with its load of wool and stores has begun to replace the long snake-like canoe, painted dark red, with its brow adorned with curious carving and plumes, and manned by swarthy paddlers who used to make the forest echo with their yelling boat songs." And so with the passage of time, transport methods changed. Pack horse and pack bullock were followed by bullock and horse wagons. The spring cart, the Cobb and Co. coach, the solid-tired motor vehicle, and then the pneumatic-tired motor vehicle. It's important to note that before the foundation of the Wairarapa small farm settlements of Greytown and Masterton in 1854, and for some years after Castle Point, which had first been settled in 1848, was an important distribution centre. The portage there served a considerable area. In later years, the uncertainty in shipping wool diverted the wool trade from the portage. Yeah, so Castle Point must have been quite an important port because it was a good landing and obviously served Masterton. All the early traffic on land between Wellington and Napier used the East Coast Beach as a road, Castle Point being about halfway between the first travellers from Wellington to Napier. They followed the beach to Cape Palliser and then went up the coast. Later, with settlement taking place in the lower Wairarapa and tracks were opened up, the route was through Martinborough to Hinakura and down the Paihoa River to the coast and then northwards. After Masterton was settled in 1854, tracks were established in from Castle Point and most of the traffic took that route after the Waimea River ferry was closed in 1882. Traffic ceased on the beach road. So there was a bridle track in 1843, and that had been blazed by Samuel Breese of the New Zealand Land Company from the Pakuratahi River to Featherstone, and in 1854 forming of the track was begun in earnest. An excellent account of the conditions on the Rumataka in 1854 to 1857 were given by New Zealand's... sorry, this doesn't quite make sense here. I think I might have to give up trying to make sense of this one. I think something's missing. However, crossing the Rumatakas, the first load of goods carted over the Rumatakas, according to Kempton, was that brought over by himself on July 7, 1856, when he drove four bullocks and a dray with a ton of goods from Featherstone. It was a risky undertaking, and it was two or three weeks later before anyone covered the same ground. Kempton believed that either Charles Cundy or Charles White was the next to follow with two horses and a cart loaded with half a dozen goods, with half a ton of goods. Gosh, that would have been a lot to take on. Just before I finish for today, I thought I might finish with a nice song from a group, a New Zealand group called You, Me, Everybody. And this is a very pretty song called Pretty Blackbird. And I thought you'd enjoy it because, of course, there's lots of blackbirds around at the moment all singing. And this morning, even though it was starting to drizzle with rain, there was blackbirds in the garden. A real harbinger of spring. Here we go, Pretty Blackbird.
Hide away, for it is safe deep into the night. You can't show me what it is.
That was Pretty Blackbird, sung by Kim Bonington. Hasn't she got a lovely voice, real lovely country voice? And it was also written by Kim, and it was her birthday just a couple of days ago. So just in case you ever listen, Kim, happy birthday for a couple of days ago. And that's from the last CD by You, Me, Everybody, who are a New Zealand progressive bluegrass band. The new CD will be coming out quite soon, so listen out for it. I really recommend them. And that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show and enjoyed a little taste of the history of the Wairarapa. Don't forget, we've got our wonderful country fair, an old-fashioned country fair with produce stalls, home baking, sheep, lambs, all kinds of things. It'll be a great day out for the family, and that's on Saturday, the 5th of October. So have a good week, and I'll be back with you again soon. Take care out there, though, with this terrible weather. Bye.